Really? Really, you can trace down a preeclear's decline in this fashion. You're asking him, he's sitting on there on an E-meter, and you're asking him various questions about people he hates, detests, and so forth. And all of a sudden, we discover Bill. And he says, Bill, whoa, if he was only here, oh boy. And so forth. You could ask him this very calmly, which would invalidate him, and it's not good processing, but just a matter of investigation. You could ask him, when did you try to help, Bill? Whee, here we go. He'd go kind of into apathy. Yeah. Well, I tell you, he used to work in my father's store, and I used to go around and he used to say, well, let me do this or do that and so forth, and he didn't want anything to do with me and so forth. The inception of hate is a refusal of assistance. Probably Russia is mad at the United States today for only one reason. At the moment when the Bolsheviks have been able to overthrow the Tsars and the Archdukes and so forth, which had kept the Russian Mujik in very horrible state, the U.S. and England and a couple other nations sent in against that fledgling government, which couldn't even hold itself together with safety pins, sent in armies against them to get them to do what? To restore the monarchy and return to the front the Russian army so that the Germans could be wound up some more on that front. The Germans freed on that front would result, according to the high command of England and the United States, in a collapse of the Western Front. If the Eastern Front had collapsed entirely, which it did in 1917, then, of course, loss on the Western Front would be inevitable. And so here, instead of getting some help, Russia got her teeth kicked in by our troops. We're still fighting Russia till about 1920, 1921. Everybody's forgotten that. They wonder, why is Russia so mad at the United States? Well, they've never forgotten it, because it was right there in the birth in Grandma Russia that the United States attacks us with guns and ammunition. That's right there in Russia's birth in Grandma. And every time she starts thinking about trying to get on with this project of getting the show on the road, she thinks of the United States, let's get a hold of them and shoot them dead, because obviously the United States is standing right there, just like your preclers being awfully mad at a doctor, being furious with doctors at large, simply because there's still a doctor standing there in his birth engram. You run out some of the birth engram, and he's no longer mad at doctors. Well, there are various and better ways to handle processing than that, but it can be handled that way. Well, let's take a look, not so philosophically or wanderingly about this, and just say, is it possible to change an individual's mind? Yes. The way you do that is to find his mind. That's the first search of the auditor. Let's locate his mind. Now, we're going up against a law here, and that law is that given a universe, the postulates effective in it are those of the God of that universe. The postulates which obtain or are effective in any universe are the postulates of the God of that universe. This is a law, unfortunately, an agreement which is so solid all the way along the track that it's pretty hard to shake. Now, you're trying to set up the preclear so his postulates are again effective in his universe. Well, at first, you have to kind of find out what universe he is in, because he may not be in his universe. So your first task is to find the preclear's mind. If you want to make his postulates effective upon him, you certainly had better get him in a condition whereby he is in the universe where his postulates are effective, because his postulates are not effective in Mother's universe. Mother may have been dead for 25 years. And he still may be in Mother's universe. Well, whose postulates are effective in that universe he's in? Mother's. That's the only postulates that are effective. So he's going on for years thinking of himself as a dirty, nasty, squalling little brat. One of the postulates of that universe he's in. He's going on for years knowing he has to be helped by women. He's going on for years knowing he will never amount to anything. Well, he's just got lost. Well, now he can keep himself oriented very beautifully up to a certain point. But in this total confusion of modern education and modern this and that, he's apt to get lost because he is entirely enclosed, you might say, and everything seems to be waiting upon somebody else's interest. That is to say, he doesn't make up his own mind. He waits for other people to make up their own mind about other people. He's many times removed from making any clear-cut postulates of his own. And yet the only time when this civilization has ever made any forward progress is when it has been confronted by an individual who could make his postulates stick in his own universe. Well, this is so rare, this has been so rare, that very little progress has been happening here, really, compared to the amount of progress which could be happening. The amount of action which could be taking place is much greater, simply because we lack a good separation of universes. Universes work together very, very well so long as people know they're in their own universes and know at the same time that they are confluent with other people's universes. You see, they know where they stand. They're not confused. They're not in Mama's universe, which is utterly enclosed in Papa's universe, which is all mixed up in the physical universe. You see, they don't know any of these things have happened. Now they say, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to be sick. And they don't want that postulate to take effect. And it takes effect. Well, it's very bewildering. Well, they've gotten themselves wound into too many universes, shifted over too far. Well, it's up to the auditor to shift them just one more. One more. According to the pre-clear, the auditor's universe and the universe of Scientology are the same universe. So it's just one universe. The auditor has to have the pre-clear assume the viewpoint of the auditor's universe for that time necessary to disentangle the pre-clear from other people's universes. And there is the first place we find his mind. We find his mind right there because we have an organization of data which is in itself the common denominator of all minds. So we've asked him to sort of step into the universal mind in order to find the individual mind. The universal mind is composed of a great many agreements which are very set. And if it were very closely traced, you could then synthesize it in such a way that by asking the pre-clear to step into it, he would then be able to envision exactly where he is and then be able also to step out of the universal mind. Now, what do we mean by universal mind? Like cosmic consciousness or anything like that? No. All you'd have to do is direct this pre-clear's lookingness for a while, and you'd have him in a new universe. You'd have him in your universe. If you were a traffic cop directing a whole flock of little kids walking across crosswalks, you're asking temporarily for those little kids to step into your universe, the universe of a traffic cop. They're safe in that universe because you as a traffic cop merely have to hold up your hand or blow your whistle and the traffic stops. It sure better had. Well, the little kids could hold up their hand and blow whistles and traffic wouldn't stop. So the safe universe at that crosswalk is the traffic cop's universe, isn't it? Well, these little kids step into the traffic cop's universe to cross that street. How does anybody get them into the traffic cop's universe? Just by telling them, walk between those white lines. Look at the other side of the street. Look up and down the street before you cross and walk between those white lines. You've directed their lookingness, and that's all a universe consists of. It consists of lookingness. Now, the lookingness can have things happen to it. Knowingness doesn't have to have a universe. No universe at all. But lookingness does. And we get into universes the second we get into lookingness. Because what is the definition of a universe? It is something that has space, energy, and matter. That's the definition of a universe. Of whatever composition, we don't care. But there is a definition of a universe, something that has space, energy, and matter. If anything has space, their first condition then, what is space? Space is a viewpoint of dimension. You've got to have a viewpoint before you have the dimension. So just telling somebody to look is in itself opening up and synthesizing for them and opening up a universe for them. Just saying, look up and down the street You're telling them, put dimension up and down the street. They've got a universe. You see, that is the tiniest, faintest entering wedge of how you make a big, solid, concrete, done in pillars and columns universe. As far as we're concerned, that's how the mesh universe got here. That's just as far as we're concerned. That's all we need to know about it. Somebody had to come along and get into an identification long enough to get a complete communication and say, look, look over there, look at the carnival. Look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. Much as a hypnotist can do with any subject. And the next guy says, by golly, there is a carnival. There is this, there is that. There is space is the common denominator of all such statements. Look. Look would be followed by there is space. Just look means there is space. Look contains in it the fact that creates space. Now, what about these fellows that are totally occluded and can't see and can't feel and can't hear? Well, those individuals have been told to look at themselves long enough and often enough so that there isn't any distance involved in it. Nobody can look at himself. Try and look into nothing sometimes. You can't look at yourself. You can look at the form you're in, but even that's a very short sight. Now, if you'll pick out of the preclear's life that person who has said to him consistently, look at your shoes, look at your face, look at you, put your attention on yourself, put your attention on yourself. If you were to pick this up on an e-meter and separate that universe out, you would have, in a few hours of processing, a markedly changed individual. Well, I can assure you that would take place. Why? Because the individual has, of course, been reduced in his own lookingness and then absorbed into another universe. That universe, naturally, the individual finds himself obeying the postulates of somebody else, so he must be in somebody else's space. He's in Papa's space or Mama's space or teacher's space or he's in some other space. It isn't his space. Well, how'd he get there? People kept saying to him, look, 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 look. All these various directions. Well, now, if you've ever noticed, a preclear who is a little bit occluded and is hanging onto a heavy energy mass has this mass collapsed against his back and extended out in a sort of a globe in front of him. Has this mass collapsed against his back? That is to say, he has no space behind him. Why? His body never looks behind him. He's dependent upon his body to do his lookingness for him, and his body never looks exactly through the back of its head. As a result, he has no space behind him. Now you come along and you say, be 3 feet back of your head. Uh-oh. How can he be 3 feet back of his head? There's no space back there. He could be 2 feet in front of his face. There's space there. You don't want him there. Why don't you want him there? Boy, that's really somebody else's universe. You would move him out into a new geographical location. Most of the people you run into who are kind of neurotic and yet are exteriorized are in front of their faces. They're sitting out here in front of their faces. They're no longer able to maintain their position in the head. They've gone right on through. Of course, they don't dare look from anywhere out there, so they have to pass some kind of remote viewpoint back to the back of their head and look through their eyes. Very complex and dizzy structure. But there's no space in back of their head. Well, how would you find space in back of somebody's body? How, then, do you exteriorize a person easily by using the various tenets we're talking about right now? You'd exteriorize him by getting him out of some universes. Enough so that you could get him out of the body's universe, which, of course, has no space back of its head. Then what is the test? What is the test of whether or not a preclear can exteriorize or not? Is he so thoroughly in the body's universe that the only space he has is the body's space? Or is he sufficiently in command still of his own universe so that he does have space back of his body? So that is the test. Now we say exteriorize. Well, that's interesting. In order to exteriorize, an individual would have to be able to make space. He'd have to make space simply by looking. That's the way he would make space. If he can't make space, it is because he is being compressed by some other universe's space over which he has no control, which is under the control of a God making other postulates than himself. In other words, let's say he's in Mama's universe, and Mama's opinion of him is highly derogatory, which is to say she's pushed in his anchor points, only let him look an inch or two, smashed it down all around, you might say. And now he is in another space. He can see space, certainly, but it's not space over which, into which he can escape. He's already in a crushed space area. His own space is badly smashed down on him. And sometimes you get a pretty clear, he feels to himself, or he thinks of himself as a little black ball. Well, this is all that's left of his own universe, which is to say, that's how far he is limited in his lookingness. And the postulate he has had to make is, of course, I can only look this far. Mama is doing my looking for me. He actually will have made that postulate somewhere along the line and stuck himself with it, but thoroughly. He has, really, of his own election, put himself into these universes. He elected to safeguard a body, and then it had certain dependencies and conditions which had to be met, and this body, in order to grow at all, had to be dependent on other universes than his universe. His universe was not adequate to grow this body, according to his own postulate. So he turned it over to Mama to raise, or Papa, so on. He isn't himself. In other words, he's owned. He's otherwise owned. So the most intimate piece of matter which he has, a body, is not his property, which is to say, isn't contained in his own space. Viewpoint of dimension, that is the first condition of a universe. That is space. Who does the looking for the preclear? Well, you as an auditor have to do the first looking in auditing. You have to do the looking. And one of the handiest ways to do the looking is to get the preclear moving in space under your direction. And of course, that makes him step into your universe. Neat, swift little trick. Opening procedure. Now he finds out it isn't dangerous to be in your universe. He's going to be in your universe until such time as he can find a universe to be in. Very probably, as an auditor, your first big gain on the case is you have presented him at last with a universe he can be in. He has to be in somebody else's universe. He's running on this postulate uniformly, and you come along and you do give him a universe to be in. Okay, that's all right, that's fine. He can be in that universe. And after a while, why, he can find some universes to be in. But this is the course and goal of auditing in terms of space. But above all other considerations is knowingness. An individual knows without space, without energy, and without matter, without form, without color, without time. He knows. Unless by postulates he has shut off his own knowingness. And that's what he's done, of course. He just shut his own knowingness down. But in the process of shutting it down, he got himself beautifully lost. Now, you can quite often find the first piece of space the preclear ever made, or the first energy which he ever made, and ask him to be that space. Ask him to be himself, and be the space, and be himself, and be the space. Every time he's being the space, boy, is he stupid. Space, of course, is a reduction of knowingness. It's the primary reduction of knowingness. That's what space is. Because there has to be something over there at a distance. There is something a distance away which he doesn't yet know about. That's the condition of knowingness in space. And energy is awfully stupid. So your preclear is being spaces, and he's being pieces of energy, he's being masses, and he has taken on the total postulates of these things. Well, he's saying, I'm subject to the total postulates of a body. It means I have to eat three times a day, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. But actually, a body is stupid. And if you were to exteriorize and let your body go off by itself, it won't, by the way. But if you were to exteriorize and let your body operate itself, it would be the deadest body you ever saw in a very short space of time. It'll keep on mechanically breathing, and it'll go through its mechanical functions, pocket-a-pocket-a-pocket-a, But it has no further direction or mobility because it's totally inverted. Its universe is all wrapped up in itself. Well, our problem in processing a preclear is a very simple problem. It is presenting him with a universal universe and everybody's universe. This physical universe out here is actually, evidently, everybody's universe. This physical universe is everybody's universe. Everybody helped make it. It didn't come down from one mind. But your preclear thinks or has postulated continually that it belongs to somebody else, that it's not his universe, and it's not available to him. You ask him to be 3 feet back, have you said? If he were in excellent condition, you should be able to say, be 3 feet back of your head, and then he has a perception of the universe. Why? Because it's his universe. He made it in company with everybody else, but he only has one viewpoint of the universe, or as many viewpoints as he'd have of the universe. They're just his viewpoints. They'll never be anybody else's viewpoints. They're his. If you had two thetans standing on the same head of the pin looking at the same room, you've got two different viewpoints of that room. You actually see two different rooms. There are as many mess universes as there are people, as there are animals. Just as many. And for somebody to say, well, the mess universe belongs to somebody else, that shows a reverse sort of a postulate right there. He's going backwards already. So you give him a synthetic universe. It is a universe which is totally composed of knowingness. And he can step into that universe. You will have a struggle with a lot of boys trying to get him to step in. But they do. They will. Opening procedure does it. Various other things. You direct their attention in terms of knowingness. Remember something real. Directing their attention. Let's move from here to here, and let's put your hand on something so you're telling them to look. You're actually, with those processes, making a universe for the fellow. But what kind of a universe is it? It's composed of what you're asking him to do, what you're asking him to look at, and his confidence in you. Well, suppose he doesn't have any confidence. He's incapable of confidence. You keep up a communication line long enough on that basis, and he can't help but have confidence. It's just something that happens. Unless you change your mind every once in a while or pick up a brickbat and hit him with it every 10 minutes or something, he'll discover that he can't be in your universe. Now, the action that then takes place after you have him more or less in this universe is demonstrations to him that he can change his mind. How do you run those? Well, there are various processes here in 8C which simply go right on down the groove one after the other and demonstrate to him that he has various things which can be altered. One of the first things he finds out, although many people don't find this out for quite a while, is that there are pieces of energy around evaluating for him. Well, this is funny, isn't it? Energy is talking to him. Energy is evaluating for him. It's energy that tells him whether or not it's light or dark, and so on. Well, he'll get out of that sooner or later. His only certainty, then, is the certainty which is handed to him from energy. He must, therefore, be in somebody else's universe. These ridges which are dictating to him must, therefore, be somebody else's ridges. They're not his. Otherwise, he would be able to tell them what to do. So any time you have a preclear who is being told perpetually by energy whether he's right or wrong, any one of them who sort of waits to find out what happens, you know immediately what's happening to this case. This case must be in a universe where the energy is not his. If the energy were his, he could simply change it by making a postulate, couldn't he? Obviously, it's not his universe, because when he makes a postulate, it doesn't change the energy. He waits for the energy to tell him. As long as he waits for the energy to tell him, he, of course, must be in somebody else's universe. What universe is he in? You'll find out he's in dozens. Dozens, at least. And he hasn't any space of his own. Well, the second he hasn't any space of his own, he can't look. So here's the problem of perception. The problem of perception is primarily a problem of space. Lookingness, space, they go together. It's not really a problem of energy at all. Perception is knowing across a distance. Distance is the common denominator to perception. So we exteriorize this boy and he can't see anything. you must have exteriorized him into somebody else's universe. Or you must be totally convinced that the physical universe is somebody else's universe. How do you solve this? Does it require any more processes than you have? Nope. Doesn't. Doesn't require anything more than you know. Unless you have to know a great deal more about universe processing. Now, universe processing itself is simply this. Where are those things surviving without your permission, which you feel are doing you in? Where are there a lot of survivals taking place that you object to or consider are inhibitive to your survival? You ask him, where's this safe? Where's that safe? Where's something else safe? You start asking him this and that. Why, you'll find out that he's running into actually areas where somebody is continuing to persist without his permission. Now, you'll find that running Mama's universe, first thing he says, Mama, why, she's safe here and there and everywhere, and that room and this room and that room and around the sky and under the ground, and gee, she's just safe everywhere, 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 everywhere. Mama is just safe. That's all there is to that. Boy, is she safe? And he starts dwindling down. He starts finding less places where she's safe. And then finally he gets stumped. He can't find any place where she's safe. She's just blank. Where is she safe? No, he can't think of any place. And then finally he'll think of one place. And then all of a sudden she's safe everywhere again. And then she isn't safe anywhere. And then the places she's safe are liable to be very strange places, such as under a taxi's wheels or crammed down the muzzle of a 16-inch gun. And he's coming up the line. And the next thing you know, why, bang, Mama is where she is. That's all. There isn't a question of being safe for Mama or not safe for Mama. She's just where she is, and that's all. Everything's happy and perfect and cheerful. He won't have any further trouble with aberrations on the subject of Mama. He won't. You might not have cleaned up a few places. You might have missed a few places or not done the technique all the way through. In such an event, he'd have some feeling about it the next day or two. But this would go by the boards, unless you wouldn't even have to touch it again. All right, then let's take processing in terms of universes. And let's find out that you get to pre-clear into a universe, which we'll call a universal universe. It's a universe of knowingness. And then, having him in that universe, you promptly shuttle him out of a flock of universes he's in. And the more often you do this, the more able he is to make his own postulates stick, and the less he is subject to other postulates. The only thing wrong with your pre-clear, he's so totally subject to other postulates, he can't make up his own mind. Until he can make up his own mind, you've got to keep on processing him to some degree. What do you mean, make up your own mind? Make his own postulates, of course. So the goal of processing is that point where a pre-clear can make his own postulates. You'll find out after you've separated him out of a universe that the last stages of it were he was putting Mama in these places and saying she was safe. You now have recovered his ability to make postulates in the teeth of Mama's universe. And that's all you're trying to do. And that's the finite goal of universal processing. How many universes you have to get him out of depends on the pre-clear. The way you get him out of it is, where is that safe? Now, a much more refined method of doing it is, where would Mama's viewpoint be safe? But the funny part of it is, he instinctively knows Mama's viewpoint, so all you have to say is, where's Mama safe? Remember to stay on the same person till you get it cleaned up. I'm watching auditors do this, and they're only fouling up when they let the pre-clear wander. But stay with the same person we start with until it's clean, even though it's a 15-hour job. Okay.